glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, August 18th, 2023, and today's discussion is going to center around the topic, what are you learning? And I'm going to enlighten your minds and hearts, because I'm learning a couple things. This is hot off the press. In fact, I just got off of a text with Huntley Brown. He's going to be coming to Springfield. I believe it's going to be September 23rd, a Saturday night, joined by the Singing Men of GNN. We're working out the arrangements, and I hope I can get the Springfield Ministerial Alliance and some churches behind this. Huntley Brown is world-renowned. He's a phenomenal pianist and singer-songwriter, and he's a bundle of joy. And so that's going to happen in September. And I can't remember, but Ivan Parker's coming to St. Joseph, and also the Singing Men are going to back him up and sing a few songs. And that's coming up pretty soon, or in the next month or so. So when I learn more, you'll learn all about it, but the arrangements are being made. And finally, those of you in and around the Springfield area, we still have some seats on our second motor coach for you to join us at the Pacific Guard Mission. Find out more at the website, wluj.org. Right on the homepage, there's a caption of the Pacific Guard Mission. Click on it, and all the information is there. The cost is $50, and that'll include a meal, the bus ride. You'll get to see Unshackled presented and performed, and then a multicultural citywide worship service, which is a very great blessing for all. Also, the Singing Men will participate in that. So that's coming up in a couple Saturdays. So stop by wluj.org. Well, what are you learning? We opened up with Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess.
Yeah, so the question today is, what are you learning? So lobbing that out to every one of you, let's share some stories. What are you learning? What is the Lord teaching you this week?
Well, I learned today, actually, that everything committed to God is your pathway to joy. That was in my devotion this morning, and when I looked back and reflected on my life, I felt it to be true.
And that was that Elizabeth Elliot quote you had mentioned?
Elliot. Yeah. Wrote that, yes.
Yeah, when we surrender and submit.
I believe it.
Anybody else?
Patience.
Patience. Oh, boy.
Our pastor, after 17 years, took a calling of a different church. So we had to go through the process of getting a new pastor. And I believe it took 40 weeks. So we got one.
40 weeks. 40 is a biblical number.
It is.
Anybody else?
Well, I got to say, for one thing, I do love this idea of saying the Lord's Prayer. It's a wonderful way to go to sleep at night.
And I have books over here from Terry Takel, who penned that, and he's sending me like 100 copies also, so we'll have those available for everyone in the coming days. $5, it's a great book, a great resource. He walks through all the words in the Lord's Prayer.
Sharon, how about you? What's the Lord teaching you?
Standing firm. Okay. Don't listen to the world.
Yeah.
They are in chaos.
I would agree. So the reason I ask this question is because this week is back to school week in our area. Kids are going back to school. Muhammad went back to school on Wednesday on the 16th. Judah Christian on the 17th. I'm not sure, but Mark, you'll know. When did Champagne go back to school?
Esther's day 5 now.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, all right.
Freshmen were on Monday, and then all the students Tuesday on.
So this is back to school time, and at back to school time, the kids, you get them all the stuff they need. They get the backpack, they get the books, they get the notebooks, the pens, they get all the things they need to go back to school. And this is kind of a big time, right? We pray for all the things that the kids are going to learn, all the things that they're going to be guided through, and all the new things and experiences that they're going to have. And so we celebrate when our kids go back to school. But, and I'm going to blame Elmer for this, because on the day that we got together to pray for the Muhammad schools, Elmer and I had a conversation about the fact that as believers, we're always in school.
Yes.
We're always supposed to be learning. We're always supposed to be giving ourselves up to being guided into new experiences that the Lord is taking us in, and in that refining us and teaching us what it means to be followers of Him. There is no back to school and summer vacation for the followers of Jesus. Mm. In fact, we would call the summer vacation for a follower of Jesus, we would call that, what, Elmer?
I call it on Sunday.
Some people might call summer vacation for a follower of Jesus backsliding. Because we're always in school. We're always following Jesus. We're always learning something. And when we're not, the problem might be that we're not attentive to what God is doing and always looking at what God is up to and what God is teaching us in this moment. We had some dear friends of ours who were in the midst of selling their house, and the sale of the house fell through at the last minute. And as they were walking into the place to go do the closing, they found out that it had fallen through. Mm. And the first thing that the wife said to me is, she said, "I'm not sure what the Lord is teaching us in this, but I know He's teaching us something." And that's so important to understand, that the Lord is teaching us things each and every day, and we need to be attentive to that. So many times we can go, "Woe is me, oh no," instead of going, "Well, you know, math was hard, this is hard." Not every lesson is easy. Not every lesson is simple. Not every lesson is something that you just get and it clicks and it's, you know, not all the classes of life can be PE or can be art class or music class or whatever class was easy for you.
And I think about all the people that say, "Lord, get me another job. Get me out of this. You know, the pressures or the boss is unfair." And He wants you there to learn. Maybe it's to be that witness in that hard environment.
Yeah. And so I would say this. Every day is a classroom.
Amen.
If we're following Jesus, every day is a classroom. Which, if somebody would open their Bible and turn to Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, I'd love for you to read that verse. And so the question as we go throughout the day is this: what is God teaching us and what am I learning? This is a great place where I would say that we should grab ourselves a notebook and write some things down. Write down what God is teaching us, what God is showing us. Begin to ask God questions. What are you teaching me? What is this? Is this lesson that you're teaching me today something that I'm going to use later on? Who has Colossians chapter 2 and 6?
Okay, it says, "So then, just as you received Jesus Christ as Lord, continue to live in Him."
Yeah. So the Colossians, when Paul is writing the church at Colossae, he's saying, therefore, it's a transition. So he's taking what has come before, and now he wants to give them this thought. This is important. "As you received Christ as Lord." So as you receive Christ as the highest person to lead you, to guide you, He is the Lord. His word is authoritative. He is authoritative. All of these things, as you have received that, and by receiving that means humbling yourself and acknowledging that He is all of those things, live in Him. Some translations say walk in Him. Learn from Him each and every day. And so I had a conversation with some guys last Saturday. We all got together for coffee, and we said, what is the mark of maturity as a Christian? Like, as we're walking with Jesus, as we're learning from Jesus, as we're learning through all the experiences and things that we go through, what is the greatest mark of maturity, do you think?
For me, it really is knowing the Lord, and whatever happens, knowing that it's from the Lord, it's either for my good or for something that I should learn.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I thought a total surrender.
Okay, surrender. Anybody else?
I thought of trust.
Trust, okay, yep. Anybody else?
I thought of patience.
Patience, okay. So I think you're all right. But I think it's all, when myself and a couple of guys were talking about it, it's all wrapped up in one word, and I think that's humility. That I think that one of the marks of Christian maturity as we follow Jesus is we begin to humble ourselves more and more. Because listen, who talks to you more than you? We talk to ourselves all the time. And listen, I'm a bad teacher. I mean, people might say, "Well, no, wait, I don't understand what you're talking about. You're gifted." No, no, no. When I talk to myself, I'm a bad teacher. Because I say a lot of self-doubt. I say a lot of, I don't know about that. Or I say, that's a great idea, Jason. You should do that. And don't check with the Lord first before I do it. Humility, I think, is one of the great markers. Because humility acknowledges that I'm one of the problems in following Jesus. And I need to give all of that continually over to Jesus.
Well, and who demonstrated humility better than anyone? Jesus Christ, King of kings,
Lord
of lords.
Well, and that's the marker that we have in Philippians, right? For the greatness of Christ, that he didn't count equality with God something to be measured, but instead humbled himself, taking on the likeness of human form. And so Jesus' humility is the greatest marker of who he is. And in his will, and even in, if we talk about John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he
gave.
Yeah. And so God gives the Son, and the Son comes, and in humility, the Son gives of himself so that we might be able to actually come to God, actually be able to live this life of being transformed continually by God. And that transformation process is us walking with God and learning from God. See, a lot of people, they would say, well, the mark of maturity is that I get smarter. I have more Bible knowledge. You know what? The Bible tells us itself that knowledge puffs up.
Amen.
And I know a lot of people who know a lot of things about Jesus, and then sometimes I watch them and I go, but I don't think you're following him. I think you're following your pride and your ego and all of those kinds of things. And I'm not saying that Bible knowledge is bad, but Bible knowledge should always be tempered by Christ. It should always be given over to him, all of those things, because that knowledge is not for us to say how much we know Christ. It's for us to say how much we're known by Christ.
Amen.
Because that's what the Bible says to the Galatian church who had a problem with pride. It's not that you know God, but rather that you are known by God. Mm-hmm. That's the more powerful things. That's the more important thing. And because God knows you, he is actively involved in every single part of your life, and he's teaching you things. You're in the classroom every single day learning from him. And Romans 13:13 says, let us walk properly. How do we know how to walk properly?
By knowing the Lord.
By knowing the Lord. And how do we know the Lord?
Studying his word.
Studying his word. In fact, that's where we get all the answers to the question of what are we learning, right? Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to what?
My feet.
Why do you think to the feet?
So you don't stumble.
Exactly. How many of us have gotten up in the middle of the night, gone to get a drink of water, gone to go to the bathroom, and somebody puts something that isn't normally there in our way, and we stub our toe? Yeah.
That's true.
Yep. That just happened the other night for me. My wife put some laundry on the floor. I think it's because she wanted me to put it away. And I tripped over the laundry basket at 3 o'clock in the morning. And then she goes, what are you doing? And I said, tripping over the laundry basket that you put on the floor. By the way, I don't suggest you have a discussion with your spouse at 3 o'clock in the morning. But the word is a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. Which path? The path that leads towards who?
The Lord.
Towards the Lord. Exactly. And so we come every day learning, every day as a classroom, growing in humility by giving ourselves to the word and saying, it's the Lord who's my primary teacher. It's the Lord who I desire to know about. And every single place and every situation that we're in going, Lord, what are you teaching me in this moment? Lord, what are you trying to show me in this moment? Or maybe we might even pray that dangerous prayer, Lord, show me what you would like me to learn in this moment. That's sort of like Ron praying for patience.
Yeah, you don't want to do that, Ron.
Because if you pray for patience, the Lord goes, oh, excellent. Now I'm going to have to give you some things to be patient in.
Larry Bunning shared this story once when he prayed for that. And we said, Larry, never pray for that. It's going to go bad for you.
But I think that, and listen, if I look in the Bible, Ephesians 5:16 tells me to walk by the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Because how am I actually going to be able to walk in the darkness that is around us? Well, the word is going to be the lamp to my feet and the light to my path. But how am I going to be able to constantly be learning and growing in what the Lord's doing? Well, the Bible tells me to walk by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, to learn from the Holy Spirit of God who wants to teach as we ask questions. I guarantee you that if you're going through something and you say, Lord, what are you teaching me? He's going to reveal that to you. Because if he wasn't going to, if he's like, nah, I'm not going to tell you, that would be counter to the character of God that we learn about in the Bible. He's not good if he withholds things from you in a way just to make you suffer. That's not what God does. But going through things, it conforms us more into his image. It teaches us what it means to walk in the image of God. And so Mark began by reading the verse from Deuteronomy 5:33, and I just want to talk about that in our last four or so minutes. But it begins by saying, walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded. What do you think about that verse? Give me some thoughts about that verse. Walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded.
First, I think about train your thoughts. Your thoughts, that whatever you're thinking, involve the Lord mm-hmm. in your thoughts.
Yeah.
The first thing that comes to my mind is that if you're married, stay married mm-hmm. for this day and age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Humble.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Now, what I love about this is it says, walk in the way that the Lord your God has commanded. Nowhere there in here does it say, you must, you better. Not the kind of words we use when I'm like talking to my kids. You better, you must, now. The Lord offers it as a choice. Because the Lord doesn't want begrudging submission. He wants joyful submission. To your point from your devotional this morning. The Lord wants joyful submission that comes from loving walking in his way. And so he gives you a choice. He says, I've given you my word, I've given you all my commands, I've given you the Spirit, I've given you every measure that you need to be able to walk in this way. Now, do you want to? And listen, we know a lot of people who have said no. So there is a choice to be made. That's why that helps us to understand the next part of the verse that says that you, and this word repeats, may, that you may live, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. Because the choice is, are you going to walk in the commands of the Lord? And if you do, then things will go differently than if you don't. That's why the word may is there, because your choice is going to dictate what happens next. And it says that it may go well with you. So now I have to define, what does it mean to go well with me? My way or the Lord's way? How do I define what it means for something to go well? Because I'm going to tell you what, I have a lot of things, I have a laundry list of things that I deemed were failures that I think later on, looking back in hindsight, were successes because the Lord was doing something. And I have a lot of things that I thought were successes that were absolute failures because of them, I puffed up. Because of them, I go, look what I did. I didn't do anything. And so that you may live. And so we have a choice. Where do we want to find life? Do we want to find life in our own selves, or do we want to find life in the Lord? By the way, life in our own selves is temporary. There's a period on the end of that sentence. Life in the Lord, it's eternal. That's why the Apostle Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. He says, I'm alive whether I'm alive or dead, because I'm alive in Christ.
Jason, I want to camp back on that things may go well. Flesh that out a little more, because how do we measure whether it's going well? Is that peace of mind? Is it more surrendering to the Lord? Is it recognizing that he's sovereign? And so we do have that inner peace.
So the answer is yes to everything you just said, but you said an interesting phrase. You said peace of mind. And we think peace means everything is going swimmingly. Everything is wonderful. I'm calm and everything is wonderful. You know, the Bible doesn't even use that word. The Bible uses a different Greek word, which means peace in the midst of the storm. Peace that is always present no matter what is happening. We like to use peace as in the absence of any kind of conflict. But there's no way that we live in this world and there's no kind of conflict. The wind is blowing at a headwind, the phone is ringing, the emails are dinging, there's a problem in our family. No matter which direction we look, there is some kind of conflict. The line is too long at the store, they don't have the thing I want, the internet isn't fast enough. Pick your conflict. There's a conflict at every turn. And so do we have peace in the midst of conflict, or are we striving to try and find peace in the absence of conflict, and that will never come because there is no absence of conflict? We are always kind of pushing up against something, always, no matter what. And so I think that going well is the perspective going well my perspective, or is it the Lord's? Because I think that there are seasons of my life where I would say, that was horrible. And the Lord would go, that was amazing because I taught you patience. I taught you how to forgive. I taught you mercy. I taught you how to love more. I taught you how to endure and how to persevere. I taught you how to trust in me and walk in my way, even when you weren't sure that that was going to go well. I taught you how to do all of those things. It was an amazing season of life. The things that I would deem and we would deem as the worst seasons of life, I think if we got to talk to the Lord, he'd go, that was a great season. Mm-hmm. That was a great season. That's why the Apostle Paul in Philippians 4 said, I've learned what it means to be hungry and to be full, to be in need and to be plenty. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Paul looked back on all of those conflicts, all those moments that were difficult and go, they were amazing. Because it taught me that I need Jesus in every single thing.
I think something that Chief Tyler said some months back about embracing your thorn, and it kind of follows along this line of thinking that when we surrender to the Lord and you're like, oh, I don't like that I'm weak or inept or not gifted in that area, and that's many times where the Lord will use you.
Yeah, and listen, it's okay. I don't like it. That's okay. Give that to the Lord. Lord, I don't like this. Listen, there's nowhere in the Bible does it says you're going to like every one of your days. There's nowhere. We got to get over that. Last thing I want to say about this is it says that you may live long in the land that you possess. We read that verse wrong because we think that somehow we gain something, somehow we've gotten something. If we have a healthy view of who God is, anything we possess is what he's provided.
Amen.
And so anything we possess, we hold with very light hands because we don't go, it's mine. We go, I get to hold it for a few minutes, but it belongs to the Lord. It reminds me of, and this is where I'll finish, is that I have a couple of special things that I keep in my drawer. And sometimes my son, especially when he was younger, but not as much now that he's 10, but he used to come over and he used to say, Dad, can I see that thing? One of them is an old pocket knife. One of them is an old cross that my grandmother gave me. He says, Dad, can I see that cross in your drawer? And I'd take it out and he'd go, Dad, can I hold it? And he would take it and he would hold it with these gentle hands. And then he would give it back to me. He realized that it wasn't his to possess, but it was his to hold for a moment and to say, wow. And then he would give it back to his father. And so that is exactly what happens with us in this verse, is that whatever we have, whatever we think we possess, it was only because God provided it. We hold it very lightly and we keep handing it back to our father and say, it belongs to you.
Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33, something that we can camp on today and all weekend long. Walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Pastor Jason Schiffo, and some friends with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day, night, and weekend.